Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina. And boy, howdy. I cannot believe, Keegan, you did not see this week. Because
you know, I'm surprised as well, but I get very excited whenever you get a look on your face mm-hmm. whenever you have something to spill.
Yeah. A conspiratory. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, absolutely. But I feel like, yeah, I need to let the listeners know that there's a look that Christina gets on her face when I'm like, oh, she has something juicy to share.
Yes. Very, very juicy. So I'm minding my business on TikTok, which has been lovely this week with all the J-Lo stitches.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that.
Dude, those are making my life right now. This is so hilarious. But in the midst of those, I thought for a second I got onto the wrong side of TikTok because I see what comes up on my phone is so triggering. It is a guy, and he's probably in his mid-30s. He has that type of brown blonde hair that looks like dirty dishwater.
Oh.
He's got just a mouthful of just like, just banana gnashers. Like, just fucking.
Banana gnashers.
And he.
No, that's the name of this episode.
Just fucking with his full chest out and his disgustingly too long nails, proceeds to
his
say.
Nails. His,
I know. And no, I was okay.
I'll wait. I'm going to wait.
I have to say this because like I did get hit on semi recently by a guy who had just like one very long pinky nail.
Get out of here.
I have to say it affected my self-esteem. Like I need to go home and think about my life that like this person thought that they could approach me. How dare you?
It's that cocaine nail that brought him over.
Oh, God. So he's sitting in a car, just full chest out, says, "Fellas, you do not have to accept a woman's rejection." So
I think you do. I think Coke Nail has to accept the rejection. Like,
you do.
You do accept that.
The people who are
stitching him.
It's a lot of men too who are like, bruh.
What does that even mean? Like, what does that mean?
He proceeds to explain. Oh my God. And with the little bit of a lisp, he's like, you know, I went up to a woman and she was like, no, I'm not interested. And I was like, well, you know, oh, that's fine because I'm kind of the best. And, you know, maybe you'd want to come back to my house and like you'd have to be into kink or whatever. And I mean, it is so
the way.
Bro, I'm like the way I know for a fucking fact that this guy is like has the most extensive hentai pornography. Like, I know it in my heart. I know what his bathroom smells like. I know. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, it's so gross. And he sells courses. He sells dating courses.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Yeah. I don't understand that mentality because you are still you still have to accept that you're being rejected. I mean, like that is what's happening.
No, according to him, you do not.
You just.
But you were rejected. She didn't come home with you, right? Like,
apparently,
I refuse to believe that. I need to know
what he's saying.
What is his success rate? Like, I need to apparently see the percentage.
He dates Victoria's Secret models.
Bent. No, he doesn't.
No, you don't.
No, he doesn't.
His handle too is Alpha Dom, and I feel like that tells you everything you need to know. You need to know. Why do the most toxic people use something that is actually fun and if practiced responsibly, like any kind of kink or BDSM? This is no kink shame here. Like, I'm a huge fucking fan, but why is it that the most toxic, disgusting people gravitate towards that shit to use it in that way? It's so fucking
because
gross.
What they really want to do is disrespect and hurt women. Yeah. And they can do it under the guise of this other thing that is more socially acceptable. So they can say that that's what they're into. And I'm not a bad guy. Like, I'm into this thing. But it's like, no, you just really want to be able to disrespect women. And this is your in to be able to do it. Like, that is all it is. Because I'm not king shaming either. I think that that stuff is fun. Like, obviously, like, we've read plenty of erotica that centers around that stuff. And, and it's hot. Like, I like it. But when practiced responsibly, when both parties involved are like into it and interested in it, like that is the crux of the whole thing. Yeah, no, I don't buy that for a second. I don't think are the Victoria's Secret models in the room with us?
Yes, like,
I
don't. Well, shockingly, none of them have stitched. I told Eric, because I'll be TikToking and he'll be like playing video games beside me or whatever. And so sometimes he'll glance over. So he glances over and he just starts laughing at this guy. And I'm just like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. It's not that hard. And what he was saying, he's just like that. I don't
just like his dick. It wasn't that hard.
Just a little loose, a little loose. Floppy.
It's like one of those honey. Things at the gas station.
The wacky inflatable tube men. Yes. Yeah.
But it's just, no. With everything going on right now, like I think today or something like that is like the 50th anniversary for when women could open their own credit cards, actually. So it's like... Ugh. What, 8 years older than me is how long we've been allowed to have
that's
our own money.
Insane. That means that, like, my mom didn't get a credit card until she was, like, almost in her late 20s.
Or she could, or she...
Or early 30s.
Or was allowed to use her husband's only or whatever, or had to sign. But isn't that insane? And now, when you think about where women are today, where it's just, like, I'm seeing so much content that's just, like, you do not... need a man. And then on the other side, men's content, there's a big one that went viral this week that was just like, ladies, like, there's not enough good men out there, some of y'all are gonna have to settle. And a bunch of people stitching that.
No.
Like, no, we don't have to. We really don't have to. We have our own money and we make more than men on average. We're more educated than men. There's no reason to have to settle.
Well, that's why they're all so angry. Like, truly, like, that is why they are so angry, is because they've realized, like, you need to bring something to the table, because a lot of people will just choose, a lot of women will just choose to do it on their own.
It's like, easier.
It is easier.
Easier to do it on your own than to be in a relationship with somebody that's just sucking the ever-living life out of you with their banana gnashers and fucking coke nails.
I gotta look this person up. I'm gonna look them up. As soon as we are done, I need
to
see this video.
The way that people started going in on the nails, I was like, okay, I didn't even notice him, but this guy was like, what the fuck, dude?
Are they
just with those nails, you ain't.
Just long, or are they also dirty? I feel like this is important.
They're just like a little, it's just so ungroomed.
Yeah.
Got it. They're just jagged. Nothing worse.
No, they're just
like untidy. Yeah, exactly.
Gross.
Got it.
It's not that they're filthy. It's just that they're long and gross. Too long.
Yeah.
Too long.
It's giving Nosferatu.
It's like a real Rasputin vibes.
Yes.
You're like, oh.
Yes.
When you think about, like, how did that guy get laid so much? That guy
Rasputin.
Got laid so much. And anytime you look at pictures of him, and the descriptions of Rasputin, too, are like, he smelled bad. His nails were too long.
It's
he
the
was
riz.
Just like fucking all the time. Like, I guess it must be just, charisma. And
it's
he's reportedly
riz.
Had like an enormous dick like that. I guess.
Oh, yeah. That'll do.
He
that'll
just
help.
Had big
that'll
dick help. Energy, both, figuratively and literally.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't know where we go from here for an FMK, but I was thinking, because Alpha Dom practices his weird BDSM fetish, that maybe we can FMK like a hot portrayal, actually.
Of an alpha.
Of like an actual like alpha male, or what we would think of.
Like, okay. Doesn't have to be like somebody who's played one or...
No, because what came to mind for me, and I haven't watched this recently, so please don't come for me, but from what I remember, James Spader in the movie Secretary.
Right. Yes.
Was... Yeah. That's what
I've
I'm thinking.
Seen it.
I think
you haven't?
James Spader is hot.
Cassie, you would love it.
I've heard it's hot.
You should watch Secretary. But here's the thing for me, like even with that movie, I'm really not attracted to,
you don't want a Christian Grey.
If I had to pick one, like that is probably what I would go with. Like, because, but to me, even that is just like James Spader, like the portrayal of BDSM in Secretary is, I think, far more, I don't know. It makes 50 Shades look like softball.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, I'll see you guys later. It was Mike. Good.
Cassie's like, I know what I'm doing for the rest of the night. I've actually thought about picking that for a it would make a good Tainted Love movie.
I know. I would like
to
rewatch it because it's been a long time since I've seen it. But yeah, you got like Christian Grey. You have James Spader in Secretary. I'm sure Michael Fassbender's been in something of that ilk.
Absolutely.
He seems... Yeah, if he hasn't, he should. Let's call his agent right now. we should recast 50 Shades with a better.
Better. Well, it was supposed to be Charlie Hunnam. He dropped out last minute.
Ooh, into that.
I mean,
isn't that your birthday twin, Cassie?
It's my birthday twin. Hey. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a lot of birthday twins.
Yeah.
You got some good ones. Celebs that are like rumored to be into it, you know, like Crispin Glover or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
You know who else? Penn from Penn and Teller.
What?
Yep. Shut apparently the has front like, door.
No,
so is that the quiet one or the tall
no,
one?
No, I don't think it's the tall one. Yeah.
The images that just came into my head with that ponytail, I cannot. No, I'm not.
Does he have a ponytail?
It. Yes. The taller guy?
I don't know why I don't remember. I'm just saying, I know that he's been rumored to be.
Listen, like, I'm not up on my celebrities, but I am who are rumored to be into this, but I am super down. Let's go. Like, I'm happy to.
Zayn Malik, apparently.
Okay. Really? All right.
Into it with Gigi Hadid. Eva Longoria, Rihanna, Carmen Electra.
Amazing. Okay. I'm into it. Okay.
We got some people. Armie Hammer. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yoinks. Yoinks.
And Dita Von Teese.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I actually, with this FMK, because you just said Armie Hammer, I feel safer picking a woman. I don't want any Peacock documentary specials coming out in 5 to 10 years. So I'm gonna go with Carmen Electra. I feel like that is someone I have not talked or thought about in a long time, but was enormous in the 90s. She was huge.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. Also from Ohio.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's safe. It says she likes to be spanked. So.
Well, who doesn't?
I mean, who doesn't?
Exactly.
When you've been a bad, bad girl.
You know? I mean, sometimes I'm bad on purpose.
I did see on TikTok where people were talking about their unconventional crushes, and this woman made a PowerPoint presentation, you know, where she's holding her laptop up to the screen and it was just Gordon Ramsay. And then they played the video where he's like, this woman, I guess, had like hurt her hand and he's like helping her like put it in ice. And he's like calling her a good girl while he's doing it. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. There it is.
You're like, I actually need some ice over here too. Please. Yeah.
Excuse me. Over here. Somebody said John Mayer.
Likes whipped cream.
Yeah.
I don't trust that.
Bringing
man.
All the kink, to, bringing the kink to the table.
Apparently.
Feathers, ice cubes, whipped cream. Water sports. Oy vey.
Water sports.
He's living with Andy Cohen now.
You know what that is, right?
Yes, I do. He's living with Andy Cohen.
Yeah. John Mayer and Andy Cohen are living together.
Are they just like BFF or is it deeper?
Nobody knows for sure.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Rumors.
I'm gonna go with James Spader from Secretary. Okay. Yep.
Okay. I'll go with Zayn Malik.
Awesome. There you go. Okay.
Oh, Zayn Malik and Gigi Hadid. Can I just watch in the corner?
Honestly. Yeah. Gigi's with Bradley Cooper now.
Wait, what? That's right. I forgot.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got Zayn Malik, who I do think is Hot. You know what I have a soft spot for is like men who have eyelashes that are so thick it looks like eyeliner. And Zayn Malik's eyelashes are so like
so long.
So long. Like, and it's just that's a beautiful man. Cassie's sharing a picture. That man is a beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. He's also got this bit of unkemptness about him. Not in a I don't clip my fingernails kind of way.
He's well groomed, but he does it in a way that is like a devil may care kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I do
enjoy.
People
that can look effortlessly cool and good. I always have to try really hard to put things together. And I'm always jealous of people that just like are just so effortless like that. It's such a talent. It's such an underrated skill.
Because I'm not even kidding. I didn't wear my bonnet when I went to bed last night. Mistake. I woke up this morning and looked in the mirror and like literally was like, I have never looked this bad in my life. My hair was sticking straight fucking up. I'm like, the people who just wake up and they look like fucking stunningly beautiful. I'm like, how dare you? How dare you not have to try?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. James Spader, Carmen Electra, and Zayn Malik. I will say
this. I
have Carmen Electra's zodiac sign, and it is the least surprising. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what I would have thought it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know the
and
other.
It is.
Do you want me to share now,
or do we want to make share now, or do we want to do it later?
Let's
pick first, and then we'll decide. Okay.
Okay. So Carmen, what do you think she is? If you had to guess.
I'm not sure.
A Taurus, maybe?
She is an Aries, but she is an Aries, April 20th Aries. So she's on the cusp.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
But she gives me fire sign energy for sure. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Zayn Malik is January 12th, Capricorn.
Cap. All right.
Cappy daddy.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. She's the first day of Taurus. So you were right. April 20th is the first day of Taurus. So
yes.
There you go. Sorry to all of my... As somebody who is a March 20th Pisces, I understand what that's like to be born on like the last day and have everybody getting your zodiac sign confused. So my apologies to all of the April 20th Tauruses out there.
Mm-hmm. And... James Spader is an Aquarius.
Of course he is. That's very unsurprising to me. Like the this character he plays on The Office, I'm like, yes, of course he's
Robert California.
Yes.
Amazing. Honestly, he's so hot in that role too. I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense.
I think he's so unattractive.
There's something very weird. He's got Riz. There is something about him that I also think is attractive, and it doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't
make sense. I don't know if it's because I watched like Pretty in Pink or whatever movie that is that he is in from the 80s when
and
he
you
was like young and
yeah,
and
you
hot.
Can still see his youth in him, and he's
but
so
he
fucking hot in the
an-
80s.
Asshole, like he always played assholes because he has that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like
you're
hot
right. Young James
vibe.
Spader is hot.
Yeah, but... yeah, yeah. Okay, Blacklist James Spader, maybe not.
No, no, we're gonna pass on that one.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Carmen Electra, Zayn Malik, James Spader.
So weird.
It's
what
very
a weird.
Weird.
I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels like the best for me out of the three. You know, a Taurus. I can do that. It feels grounded, down to earth. She's still got a wild side or something, but we're older now. So it's like, you know, not as intense.
She always
maybe?
Seemed very sweet in interviews. Like she was one of those people who I feel like is very kind of like loud and out there and like, you know, open with her sexuality and
which
everything
I love.
Like that.
Yeah.
Which I love. But I think a lot of times people can write those people off as being like vapid or shallow or something. And I don't think she is. Like she seems very like sweet and, you know, kind in interviews.
And yeah, she's got some stories too. So it'd be fun to go to dinner with her. And I'm gonna fuck James Spader.
Just gotta know what it's like.
I gotta know.
Okay.
I gotta know.
Decision.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be super strange. I don't know, my leg goes like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He's got some toys you've never seen before. Where did you even get that? Did you have that custom made?
I was in Marrakesh and I picked this up, and you're like, what?
Exactly.
All I see is Boston Legal James Spader. Like, trying to grandpa fuck me into submission. Just what the fuck are we talking about, you guys? I can't, it's like I don't even know who you are.
I get a vibe from James Spader like that. Definitely exactly what you were saying, Christina. Like, I feel like he like traveled the world, picked up a bunch of artifacts. He's got a room that's just like covered in curtains and pillows on the floor. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. He's got a fuck toga that he's got to put on.
A fuck toga.
Exactly. It smells like patchouli in there. No. It's sandalwood.
Exactly. Oh,
it smells
my God.
Like sandalwood.
Yes.
Yeah,
he makes you drink this special tea first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like, this will be really good for your libido, I promise. And you don't know what it's in there. It's got stuff floating in it. And you're like, okay.
It's a no for me.
It would be a no for you, Cassie. You'd walk right in there and you'd be like,
strong no.
No, yeah.
Dude, if you walked into that room and saw James Spader in a fuck toga, I would.
Cassie's turning right back around. She's calling the Uber. She's like, no, we're not doing this, actually. No.
Oh, man, there is a real strong possibility that my curiosity wins, but.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, I would get me in the right mood, like catch me in a curious, adventurous mood, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm down for this ride. Mm-hmm. Like, let's figure this out. But
I tell no one.
Oh, I would tell everyone. No one. I would be like, you would not believe what happened to me.
That was the thing, because Eric was like, have any of the Victoria's Secret models stitched Alpha Dom? And I was like, of course not. And I was like, and honestly, if I had fucked that guy, you couldn't waterboard that information out of me.
That's going to the grave.
No. The
grave. But if I fuck James Spader, I'm calling you guys immediately. Like...
Yeah.
We're starting a text thread.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that gets in the nap.
Okay. So I,
what are you doing?
This is a little tricky, because I think I'm going to marry Carmen Electra as well. Like, there's just something that does seem stable, but like she knows how to have fun. Like, we're going to do tequila shots the night before, but then the next day we're going to still run all of our errands and get all our shit done. Like, I feel like she's that. And that's
going to be on work on time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that seems great to me. Like, I love a person who can have fun, but still be responsible. And I feel like she's got that going for her. Also, I just think she seems beautiful.
Exactly like that. Good call.
Yeah. I grew up, I was such a girly girl that I really loved like all of the like hyper cart. Like, she's like Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Mm-hmm. This is where it's hard. Zayn Malik, objectively the hottest, like so hot. I actually think that going on a date with him would be really nice. Like, I think that he would like treat you, he'd wine and dine you. I think he'd have good conversation. I think, but it's the curiosity, man. That's where I'm at right here, because I think that he's going to be good in bed, but it's going to be real standard. Like, I don't see it being like crazy. Although I guess he did say, what did he say that he's, what is he into?
Hold on. I forgot.
Okay. It doesn't matter, but okay. Because I could be wrong.
It matters. It could matter.
No, I'm gonna fuck Zayn. I'm gonna fuck Zayn.
Yeah,
I feel like, I'm gonna do that. Although,
yeah, because otherwise you're gonna fuck Boston Legal, but
Boston Legal is gonna be weird, and I'm curious about it. But no, Zayn is too hot to pass up. I'm gonna fuck Zayn.
Yeah,
Yeah, apparently. So what he said, because he has a song or whatever on the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. So it was radio show where he revealed he has never seen the movie, but he says he doesn't need to see it because he lives the movie with Gigi Hadid.
Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, I feel good about this. Yeah, I'm gonna fuck Zayn. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. There's no questions. He's too young to marry, so...
Yeah.
Because he's a baby. Mm-hmm. And I do have feelings about how weird that is.
He's not that young. The man is in his 30s, I think. So
he's like 32.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I mean, no, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not going to marry him. I'm going to marry Carmen Electra.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I
feel good about this.
Feels right.
Yeah. I feel like we'll have it's not going to be necessarily the most exciting relationship, but...
Stable.
We'll have good time. Yeah, stable, good times. Yeah.
Friday nights, popping a big bowl of popcorn, watching some, like, fucking Love is Blind, you know?
Yes.
Just sitting on the couch with wine and sweats and just... Perfect. Laughing and talking. Yeah.
I bet you she's into true crime documentaries. Oh, and I bet her and I would get along great because we would both be really okay with like pausing it to talk about it. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't threaten me with a good time. Yeah. This sounds amazing, actually. Mm-hmm.
So Christina, you're taking one for the team. You got to report back about what fucking James Spader is like. I need to know. If anybody has his agent's information.
Yeah. I've had worse. I've had worse assignments.
Wait, if anybody out there has fucked James Spader, we'll keep it completely confidential. We just need to know.
Very curious.
Go to our one-stop shop of a website.
It's my website. .com. Yeah. What's that email address one more time?
Yeah. We'll make a special form on the website for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. You can go there specifically. And it'll say
James Spader folder.
Oh man,
we do have a new patron, so I want to give a big worsty welcome to Claire Settlemyer. I hope I'm saying your last name right. We are so excited to have you. We will get your rewards out to you shortly. Thank you so much for being a listener and a patron.
Yeah. Welcome. Well, hey, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes,
that sounds good.
And we're back. Hey. All right, Christina.
Woo, I'm going to start us off because I have the tainted love later and you'll want to stick around for that because it is a doozy. Okay, so this person writes, oh man, here we go. This guy wanted to go out for Korean barbecue. We met at his place and he was like, let's watch a YouTube video about Korean barbecue as I've never been. So he talked the whole time. I mean, it's you can figure out food. I mean, but whatever.
Had he never been or she had never been? And so he's like, you need to be prepared.
Oh, no, he had never been.
Okay.
Oh. You know, YouTube video about it. So
you're going to mansplain the Korean barbecue to me before we go out to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. He talked the whole time during the video about politics, so we didn't end up learning anything. So eventually we just go to the restaurant and he's upset that the waiter doesn't speak English very well at a foreign food restaurant. So this was like sign number one for me that I wasn't really interested and he was kind of a douche. I ordered chicken and beef because I'm familiar with cooking those. He ordered squid.
Oh, no.
All right. Have fun with that.
Oh, no. Is there a medium rare for squid?
I don't like squid, and I'm also not familiar with cooking it. And he turns to me to ask me questions on how long we should cook it. I tell him, I don't know. You ordered it. His response was, well, you're woman. You should really be cooking.
Okay.
Sign number two.
Yeah.
Then we get to talking about his past relationships. He said he and the girl he was seeing last were just too different. He ends by saying, and I really couldn't get past her hair. I just didn't like it. I asked what he meant, and he says, Well, you know how black people just have weird hair?
I knew it was coming. Oh, I fucking knew that that's what was about to happen here.
God, I did not see this coming.
I also need to know what politics he was discussing while they were trying to watch that video, because that probably could have told you everything you needed to know before you even left for dinner.
Giving RFK Jr. like it.
No, I mean, I told you.
And that's best case scenario.
I think I've said on this podcast before, I think I've said this. It sticks with me forever and always. Like, I will never forget it. And it wasn't even somebody that I had dated or slept with, but he had slept with my friend who was also biracial, and she had much looser curls than mine, but still, I mean, you know, and he had said to me once, we were just like all hanging out in a group, and already like I'm the only, you know, black person there in this group. And he had said that I knew he'd hooked up with my friend. He's hooked up with black girls. He's hooked up with white girls. He prefers hooking up with white girls because their hair is less scratchy in the morning.
I hate that.
Fucking gross. Like, wow. It's just so like,
wow.
I don't know.
That kind of thing sticks with you too. Those comments and stuff.
It absolutely does.
I had my hair be called pubes before, middle school.
How the craft of them.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks. So. I love the craft, but thank you for, you know, depositing that idea into every like gross racist head. And it's obviously like that is something that gets directed towards black people regularly. Like, our hair is a main source of conversation quite often. But outside of that, it's like, you know that like white people can have different hair textures too. But
at
whatever. Anyway,
at this point, I wanted to get up and leave, but he was the one that drove us there from his apartment. As if the date wasn't already horrible, here's where it takes a horrific turn.
I think it already did.
I think we're done too. Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
We are leaving, and as we are walking out, he's making comments about how his stomach doesn't feel good. He has this idea that stopping for a milkshake will solve this.
A milkshake is the worst possible thing you could do in this situation.
That ain't it.
Squid and a milkshake?
Oh, God.
No.
Gross. We stop somewhere, and he orders it. Enormous milkshake.
He's racist and stupid, clearly.
Yes.
Cookie dough milkshake.
Big old cookie dough milkshake.
Nice.
Put that on top of some undercooked squid. So we stop somewhere. As we're driving back to his apartment, he's straight up groaning at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Idiot.
He then calmly asks me, "Hey, is there an Amazon box in the back seat? will you go ahead and hand it to me?" So I grab the box, and he just starts yakking into the box while driving.
I bet that tasted so bad coming back up.
I can't.
Just like stomach acid plus squid plus cookie dough ice cream.
Oh my God.
Once.
Oh my God.
That's the kind of thing you can't stop puking. No.
The smell had to be horrendous.
How fast are we going? And how damaged would I be if I rolled out?
Can I tuck and roll? Can I tuck and roll?
Yeet.
Oh, no. My God.
I ask him to pull over, and after the third time asking, I'm almost yelling because I feel unsafe. We stop at a gas station, and I go inside to get away from the smell and grab him some water. We get back to his apartment, and I'm like clutching my keys to leave. When we pull up, he's like, "Can you please take my dog out? She needs to go, and I think I need to get to a toilet." I say yes because I'm just a sucker, and I don't want to make this dog suffer.
I would do it for the dog. I would do it for the dog.
God damn it. You got me.
The dog didn't do anything. They can't help it. They have to live with this fucking guy all the time. I've got empathy for the dog, you know, but like that's the only circumstance is if there was an animal involved. Otherwise, like, don't
get kidnapped.
We don't get to have a date like this and then you put me to work.
Yeah.
No.
In any other scenario.
This is how I get kidnapped for sure.
Yeah. A dog. Yeah.
We go 100%. We go inside. I grab the dog and the leash, and he says, "Don't worry if you get locked out. The code on my door is 6969.
Oh, this is the worst person.
6969.
I feel like this scene would be straight out of some weird sitcom or American Pie type movie, but sadly, this is my life.
Yes, this is a character on a 90s, like a raunchy 90s comedy. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, Stifler. Disgusting. She went on a date with Stifler from American Pie. A cookie dough milkshake on top of squid. What did you think was going to happen, my guy?
6969.
Like, in what universe? Like, what, you know, I grew up with, we all grew up with parents probably who had their like home remedies. Like, if I had a tummy ache, my mom would get me some ginger ale, right? And she's like, that'll fix you right up.
It wasn't a milkshake.
Like, what happened in your childhood? Like, your mom was like, you know what fixes tummy aches? Ice cream.
Milk products.
I love ice cream.
And sugar.
It doesn't do me any favors either, and I fucking love that shit. So,
oh my god. Well, mine won't make you feel better. Unfortunately, story is not the remedy for that story. I matched with a guy who wanted to meet up on a Friday evening. I said, if we're going to meet up, I'm going to need some food. So I asked him to make reservations. I live in a large city. Going out to dinner, appetizers on a Friday night, reservations is a must. Mm-hmm. I even offered to make reservations myself. He said he would take care of it. Okay. Mm. We met up at a spot near the train. He was trying to call a Lyft to take us to dinner to our dinner reservations. He couldn't figure out how to use his credits. So I said, I tried to show him and went for his phone, and he yelled at me, "Don't touch my phone."
Hmm. Oh.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We finally get the car. He starts speaking really bad Spanish to the driver. Like, my mom would try to speak Spanish in Mexico on vacation bad.
Oh, no.
The driver keeps correcting him, saying, "I'm not Mexican, I'm Arabic."
Oh no. Oh God.
Yeah. Oh,
that's so awkward.
He's like, dude,
awkward.
I'm not. And also, clearly he speaks English if he's trying to tell you in English, it's so I'm much not Mexican, just
speak,
sir.
Like, just speak English.
Oh my God.
Oh God, it's so embarrassing. When we get out of the car, he keeps going on and on about how the guy looked Mexican. I was like, I don't know, dude. I didn't really see him.
This is a real racist theme, this story.
Truly.
Grove. Go to the restaurant, and he didn't make reservations. Great. I'm trying to be cool
This is what I'm talking about, though, with that whole thing where the guy's like, ladies, you're just going to have to settle. And it's just like,
no.
Dude, making a reservation
takes 5 minutes.
Bare men.
It takes
5 minutes. Like, seriously,
you don't even have to talk to anybody to do it. Just do it from your phone.
Yeah, these days you don't even have to talk. Like, I did call to like make a reservation because we're going out for my birthday, and I actually did call, but it's only because I saw that they had high top tables, they had outside tables. I was like, can you give us a booth inside? Like, if you want something specific, you call and talk to them. And guess what? Even that phone call took less than 5 minutes. Stop it. It doesn't take
that much effort. But it's just like, if you can't even be bothered to do that, then you're not going to be bothered to rinse your plate off and put it in the dishwasher. God, no. You're not going to be bothered to put your clothes in the hamper.
Thank you. That's it.
Well, and also, exactly, like, if you really couldn't make the reservation, then don't say you're going to. Like, just be like, hey, I'm in the middle of something at work. Can you make the reservation, pick the place, like, make the reservation? I would be fine with that, if somebody would, like, said that to me, you know?
Exactly. Like,
but communicate
that. Just say you can't. That's
fine.
Don't
say you're doing it and then don't do it.
Like, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Because you're absolutely right. I wouldn't mind doing it. It's just the fact that you didn't communicate and then didn't fucking follow through on what you said you were going to do. That's bullshit.
I don't trust you.
So, such a red flag.
I'm trying to be cool about it and suggest we just walk around and try to find something. Trying to make conversation, I say, yeah, it's hard on Friday nights if you don't make a reserve. He's like, yeah, I know. I ruined the date.
Yeah, you did.
You did.
Bye.
You did.
Bye.
Like, second time yelling now.
I also hate that. That is one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody tries to turn that shit around on you to try and make you feel bad by being like, I'm such a terrible person. Oh no, I get it. I'm such a bad guy. It's like, yeah, what do you, because you're trying to provoke me into being like, no, you're not a bad guy. It's okay. Yeah. No, you did fuck up. Like you've fucked up in this situation. It's like shit happens, but don't act like
this. At least
you
can recognize it.
And honestly, if you're in a safe space and they start doing that to you and you have the ability to calmly just be like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Normalize like calling them. They're going to do that.
Call people out.
Yeah, you did. You did ruin the date. Yeah. And I think it's over. And then get the fuck out and leave.
Right. We don't have a reservation to break. I can just go home.
Exactly. It's not going to affect my open table credits.
That's right.
That's exactly right. At this point, I'm getting a little nervous. We finally find a sushi place that has room. And by this time, I'm starving. As soon as we sit down, he makes sure to tell me how little money he makes and this place seems expensive. I was so hungry, I didn't care, and I was happy to pay if it meant this date was over. When the check comes, I go to grab it and pay. Nope, he shows me the bill to make sure I know how much it is, and he pays for it himself. Okay.
Great.
I say, I need to go, and he asks me to go. Please go next door and get a beer with him. Okay, fine. We get a beer, and he proceeds to tell me he knows how expensive Uber rides can be at this late at night, and says I should stay at his place.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, I knew that shit was coming. Gross.
I tell him, no, I have a dog and I need to leave. Fine, bitch, he yells as I'm leaving. Maybe I wasn't in serious danger, but I wouldn't ever want to be alone with that guy again, ever.
No.
No, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous person.
That was a first date.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yelling and name calling on a first date when you're supposed to be like on your best behavior, trying to be like, I'm my best self.
This sounds like the work of Alpha Guy.
Well, at least this guy accepted her rejection. I mean, this not well, but
well, not well. Yeah. He did call her a bitch, but he did accept it.
Yes,
you're right.
He was accepting
I don't even understand. Like, not to bring it all the way back to that, but I'm like, what does not accepting rejection mean? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, it just means, because to me, I'm like, that's assault. Like, if you're not accepting rejection, like to continue the theme of people behaving badly, I have, or not knowing how to behave on dates. I have, a woman this time, though, who was the worst date. So she says, so this is a story of me being someone's worst date ever, living in New York City in my early 20s. Chatting to this guy on Hinge for a few days, and he looks to meet up on a Saturday night. All fine. I wake up on Saturday morning, still drunk from the night before. My roommate calls to say they are heading out for brunch, so I join them. Unlimited mimosas and Bloody Marys for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So you're drunk from the night before already. Unlimited. This is a very early 20s in a big city story.
This is a very like WeHo story.
Yes. Exactly. Unlimited mimosas and Bloody Marys for 2 hours. And we decided to get a taxi to New Jersey to continue the party. She has a date tonight. Do you know if I have anything to do?
No.
In the
Can't
evening,
be doing anything else.
There is nothing happening for the whole day.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm actually, I'm like toxic like that almost in that when I used to wait tables, if I had an afternoon shift, even if I woke up at like 9, I'm like, oh, I can't do anything. I can't do anything.
I am the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the same. Yeah. Like, because we're going to dinner tonight and I'm like, oh, I can't do anything after recording. I just have to spend the next 5 hours getting ready.
Yeah.
To go out.
That's right. No time for anything else.
No. At least we all understand this.
No time to go to another state and get more drunk.
No.
Definitely not that.
Fucking crazy. So, okay. Around 5 p.m., I get a taxi back to Queens and meet a few other friends for a few more.
Girl.
And a plate of chips to sober me up before the date.
French fries ain't gonna touch that.
Ain't gonna cut it, babes. Like, no. Met this poor fella at the bar with my friends around 7. With your friends.
Oh, honey.
Like, all of this is
this
so
poor guy.
Bad. Like,
this poor guy.
He's coming in with some real woo girl energy.
Yes.
Yes.
We knew the bartender and started doing shots.
Yeah.
She's been drinking since last night.
Like, ma'am,
girl is on a marathon, man.
Golly, like I'm exhausted. I know that I used to go out. I used to like drink a lot, like in my 20s and stuff. But like this is wild. Like this is a lot. It's a lot of alcohol. He tried to get into it, but you could tell it was just not his vibe. Around 9, I told him I needed to grab some food, so he came with me to get some tacos. All while trying to have some intellectual conversation, which I was not able to participate in.
Nope. She's not there.
No.
Sir, she's not home.
Babe.
No, she's not home.
Yeah, she's had an entire 2 liter of tequila by this point. Like, no, like...
You're not going to be able to talk about, you know, like George Orwell.
Anything.
Nietzsche or anything. No. We go back to mine, not really sure why he hadn't bailed at this point. And my roommates are back there having a sing song. So I joined.
Oh,
no. Absolutely something that I would do, though. Like, you're home.
100%. I can't refuse that.
I can't say come home this and not wasn't sing me at some point in my 20s. Yeah, 1,000%.
Your girlfriends are back there screaming Taylor Swift. You are joining. Yeah. In 100% of the time,
they've and got. I'll write your name.
And if Ben wants to come, he can. But
I guess, get the fuck out, Ben. I guess like this has not been about Ben the whole time. He went on a date with her and her friends at the bar. Like
that's right.
I join in, then fall asleep in the bathroom. And my roommates had to tell poor guy to just go home. Yeah. Needless to say, Ben. Neither of us contacted the other again.
Yeah.
The poor guy was like, I just wanted to have a day. Like, he did not know what he was stepping into.
I don't know. Like that he stayed.
He thought he was going to get. Yeah. Because that's a little of.
Ben, you had some tricky ulterior motives, and I don't like that. I don't feel so bad for Ben.
Let's not totally besmirch Ben's name. Maybe he was trying to get her home safe. Like, maybe
there
she
you
was
go.
Fucked
That's
up.
Exactly right.
Maybe.
But he didn't have to stay once he was there, like, because her friends were there and could have taken care of her, so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man,
people behaving badly.
People behaving badly.
Bad behavior. Well, you guys want to take 5, and then we'll come back with the tainted love?
Yes.
Sure. And we're back.
Oh,
Christina.
Hey, I've got the tainted love this week. I was actually proactive. I'm super proud of myself in that I told Eric, I was like, I have to watch like a bunch of weird ID shows to try to find a good tainted love story.
Yeah.
And so I stumbled upon this show called Married with Secrets.
Ooh. And how many of those shows
there's
exist?
So
I
many.
Swear to God.
So many. So many. And how are we not hosting one of them? Like, honestly.
Hulu. Mr. Hulu.
Hello?
Give us a call. We've got...
boop, 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 boop. IG.
Got Riz. So anyways, I am going to tell you the first episode. I was like, this is it. I have to tell you guys. I guarantee you have not heard about this case before, and so I'm going to tell you the story of the strange case of Dr. Jean-Claude Dominique.
Oh, okay. A Jean-Claude, I feel like, is always clouded in mystery. I'm intrigued.
Mystique. Yes. So Jean-Claude Dominique was an older child of 23 siblings.
Ooh.
Holy shit.
Ooh. That woman's poor...
23
Cucci.
And me.
No.
Ooh-wee.
No, yes. 23 and me. That would be their show on TLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Truly. He was the older child of 23 siblings in Haiti. He was a rock star in Haiti. Like, everyone's like, you want to talk Riz. This guy had it. He was kind. He was caring. He was intelligent. He was just everything. So he was able to come to the United States and start going to medical school. Like, he always wanted to be a doctor. He was just always taking care of people in his youth. So, when he was interning at a hospital, met this beautiful woman, Elliot, which I love that name, Elliot.
And yeah, for a boy, for a girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they just like, they hit it off. They were in it. And Elliot's like, you know what? I'm going to help put you through medical school. Like, I love you. We have this great little Brooklyn condo that we're living in. We've got big dreams. We're going to start a family. They get married. Everything's great. Like, he gets through medical school, becomes this like really well-respected doctor, got a great bedside manner, is just constantly working. But like, Elliot's able to take a step back from nursing. They end up having two kids, and their kids are like rock star kids too, like super fucking smart. Like, one ends up going into engineering and the other one's like a lawyer or something like that. So like, they end up getting a bunch of money. They moved to the suburbs. They got a huge house in Long Island. Like, yeah, they made it, right?
So far, yeah, this sounds like a dream story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until.
And, you know, Dr. Dominique is, you know, able to be like, go back and forth, you know, but they keep the Brooklyn condo because sometimes if he has like a lot of work and stuff, mm-hmm, and he doesn't feel like driving, mm-hmm, all, mm-hmm, the way back to the suburbs,
yeah,
he's got that, okay, condo he could stay in.
Listen, I've seen, yep, too many movies, yeah, at this point to trust that. Nah. If my husband was, mm-mm, like, I need to keep my apartment in the city, I'd be like, you sure, you don't. You sure fucking don't. You can drive home late at night.
Then we, okay, need to move to the city, right, is what we need to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had the same thought. I was like, couldn't be me.
I've seen too many movies to trust you now at this point. Blame it on Lifetime. Don't blame it on me.
Side house, okay, equals side chick. Sorry. Yeah. Everybody knows this. Amen.
So, that's science.
It's science. So the unthinkable happens. It was on March 22nd of 1999. Dr. Dominique is leaving the hospital after a long shift. He's getting ready to make his way back to the Brooklyn apartment when he is hit by a car. Uh-oh. Hard. It sends him flying into the gutter, and he's got serious head trauma. And so Elliot receives a call of like the worst call imaginable. They've been married for like 20 years at this point. Two kids together, fucking perfect doctor husband. Ambulance like takes him to the hospital. Police are on the scene. Passersby are like, yeah, it was just a hit and run. They locate the car and it's been abandoned like a block over. So they're like, what the fuck? Like, was this intentional or what? So Elliot is like, holy shit, freaking out. And she goes to the hospital and, you know, just runs right into his room to see her husband like attached to like everything. It's awful. And then a woman beside the bed.
Nope.
And she's like, you know, oh my God, my husband or whatever. And this woman goes, my husband.
No,
ma'am.
And what a way to find out. What a way to find out. Ma'am. And I wonder if before Dr. Dominique passed out, if he was like, if he knew somewhere in the back of his mind that like this is it.
Here's my question. Only one person can be on that form as in like next of kin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So how did the other wife know?
So Marie Betsy Barbelier met Jean-Claude in Haiti. They were childhood sweethearts. In fact, she was a huge friend of the family. Like, so Jean-Claude had a brother, Ali Dominique, that he actually brought to the States, and Ali like looked up to his older brother and everything, and Betsy was super tight with the family. So Betsy's like, I know you, to Elliot. She's like, you were like a bitch, he divorced you, like he's been married to me for like 17 years. We have two kids together.
Oh no. Secret second families are so bizarre to me.
No.
So Elliot wakes up that day thinking she has the perfect life and then gets to the hospital. And not only that, the hospital is like, Yeah, no, we have her records. Like, she has her marriage certificate on her. She's the wife. You have to leave to Elliot.
Ooh, why did she bring her... Wait, what?
Exactly.
Why does she have her...
I do not carry my marriage certificate on me or whatever.
No, you don't have it folded up in your purse?
Not a thing.
No.
But yeah, so Elliot has to go home and is like, what the fuck is happening? And she ends up stopping at the Brooklyn condo where she finds an envelope with her name on it and it's divorce papers that have, quote unquote, her signature on them years ago. So she is like, fuck me. Like, he's in a coma right now. They have no idea if he's going to survive. She's got a mortgage, two kids. Honey, she ain't working. Everything's in his name.
Okay.
All of it.
Oh.
How, like...
No.
Can you just do that when you get divorced? Like, you don't have, like... You can just, like, submit the paperwork. Nobody has to... There's
You cannot.
No, okay. You cannot. No, okay. You cannot. No. So she would remember if she had signed papers in front of a notary...
Right.
Getting divorced.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So she's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. She lawyers up. She's like,
good girl.
I did not fucking sign this. And to the lawyer's credit, he's like, all right, let's see. They get handwriting experts, the whole nine yards. Because, like, all this time, like, Dr. Dominique is laying in a hospital, you know, still in a coma.
Motherfucker. Just having dreams of like unicorns and rainbows.
And he does eventually pass away like 39 days after. So he never wakes up. He never has to deal with it at all. And so Elliot goes to court. She is able to prove that she was never actually divorced. They do prove that Dr. Dominique brought a stand-in to pretend to be Elliot because his signature is nothing like hers. So they're
no.
So then they tell Betsy, the second wife, yeah, sorry, your shit is null and void. So now her, with her own house in the suburbs
and kids.
Her own two kids, thinking that she married a divorced guy, now she's shit out of luck, right?
Oh, shit.
So... Now
she thought she was going to get a payday and she ain't going to get shit.
No. And that's the thing. It's just like,
you have to feel for her too, though. Like, you have to feel for both of these women.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because like, unless she killed him, and then I don't feel bad.
So police are still investigating the hit and run. And fucking like Elliot's still entrenched in the court case because now she has his rather sizable estate. What she decides to do is she lets Betsy keep her house. You know what I mean? She's like,
yeah,
good for her. It's fucking only fair. And all four of the kids do receive inheritance.
Good.
So
good.
Right.
Good on Elliot. I think that's a very
good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there was also a storefront that Ali, Dominique, and Betsy shared because they were going to go into business together. And Elliot's like, no, you know what? We're going to sell that. You got to vacate it. We're going to sell it, you know. And meanwhile, Ali Dominique is like going to Elliot and is like, my brother was a great man. He was a great man. And this is what I need for the funeral. We need this many limos for his 23 siblings and all these people. And it's racking up. This charges are going like over $30,000 for this funeral.
No.
And Elliot's like still in the middle of like all this estate thing. She's like, I can't do that. And Ali gets so angry with her. He's like, you're not even the real wife. Betsy was the real wife. And you're not coming to the funeral. We're taking it over. And they don't let her go to Dr. Dominique's.
So did they pay for it?
Yep. They left her out of it completely.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Bah.
But
I mean, it would be hard.
As long as the kids could go.
Right. I mean, this is it, regardless of what he did, having no closure, like not even being able to like get it out, like, you know, have a conversation with him about this. Like someone that you were married to for that long, it would be really tough and it really shitty that they wouldn't let her have even the closure to go to the funeral and have that. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know what? Fine. Like, fine. Like, I'm dealing with so much other stuff. Like, as long as my kids can go.
I cannot even believe, like, you find something like that out and then you don't, like you said, you don't even get any closure because they pass away. And like this whole time, like he's been juggling both wives by being like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to be at the Brooklyn condo or whatever.
For 17 years.
Yes.
Imagine juggling two wives for 17
years. And an intense career, too, where he's making a lot of money. And he's not letting, like, Betsy's happy. He's, like, perfect husband. Elliot's happy. He's, like, perfect husband. His work is happy. He's, like, perfect doctor. And
how?
He's got, like, a superhuman level of energy.
Virgo. Gotta be a Virgo.
Well, there you go. Yep, there it is.
That's what I'm guessing. Because who else can project manage like that? You know what I mean?
Maybe a Gemini.
Oh, there you go. So police never figure out who hit and killed Dr. Dominique. That is still an open case. And so,
really?
Yeah, they've never figured it out. That car was like abandoned. I don't know how they didn't figure it out, but it's still an open case. And Elliot is just like, she's dealing with, you know, getting on her feet again after all of this. She's just settling the estate stuff. Her and Betsy don't talk or whatever, but Ali is still like really fucking bothering her, especially about the storefront. So she starts nursing again because she's like, well, I got to work, you know, I got to pay bills. I got to get back on my feet. She's going.
So the estate didn't cover like the house or anything like that, or.
I think some of it, they didn't share, none of the articles shared like how much amounts were, but she has to go back to work is basically what it is. So she's going to go back to be a nurse and she's getting up really, really early for an early morning shift. She's going outside. She does this thing where she remote starts her car to let it warm up. And, you know, because it's East Coast, it's winter, that kind of thing.
I had one when I lived in the East Coast too.
Amen. It's a game changer. So her car's finally warmed up and she goes out and she notices that her motion light is already on outside. It didn't come on. It was already on. So she turned to look at the light and that's what probably saved her life because gunshots ring out and she is struck in the head and she manages to get back inside and close the door and the guys run off. Her kids call 911, ambulance, police, everybody's coming. They're like, she's like, these guys tried to shoot at me, these two black guys. So they go and they're searching the neighborhood. They pick one of them up and it's a guy and just like, I hate to say it, but it's a black guy in the suburbs early morning as a like, he didn't look like he belonged there was what the cop said. And I'm like, I get what that's code for, but regardless. So then they pick him up and he rolls immediately. He's like, yeah, I had to help. This woman was disrespecting our family, like Ali Dominique. She wasn't going to pay for the funeral. She's trying to take the storefront, like blah, 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 blah. So they're like, cops are like, this is great. This is so easy. They're able to round up like a group of three people that Ali had hired to kill, not just Elliot, but Elliot's kids. And then come to find out he was also going to kill Betsy and her kids. And
so that he could inherit the estate.
Yeah. But thinking, I'm like, he's why would it come 23. To you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What is it going to be? 60 cents? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not very thought through at all. No. But he's like, he's just so angry about Elliot, like taking the storefront and not like feeling like she disrespected his brother. That
well, you know what? Your brother disrespected me when he had a second wife and family for 17 fucking years.
Yeah.
So how about that?
Let's talk about that.
So they were all convicted, all got like over 20 years. And she actually, like I said, by turning, it just grazed her. So she was injured, but she is fine. Survived. And getting on her feet again. And again, her two children, extremely successful. One's an engineer, like one's a lawyer. And like Elliot is just like getting on her feet again and trying to move past it. But that is the wild story of the two families of Dr. Jean-Claude Dominique. I just like could not help but put myself in her shoes and be like, how much I would never be able to trust again.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, the entire thing is horrific to be dealing with, like, the death of someone you loved. I mean, he did some fucked up shit, but like you had what you thought was a good marriage, like a good relationship for a really long time, and the father of your kids. So to be grappling with his sudden death already would be like enough. And then on top of that, this huge betrayal. And then on top of that, like,
have your brother-in-law try to kill you?
Right. Yeah. And Jesus. Everything that goes along with kids. Like settling the estate, like all of that, like the stress that this poor woman must have been under is horrible. Like, yikes.
Finding out that your husband paid somebody to be a fake you to get a fake divorce.
Also, and I mean this like, obviously, fuck that man. Like, fuck that man. It's his fault 100%. Mm-hmm. However, like, as a woman, you aren't gonna, there's no amount of money you can give me that's gonna make me go in and pretend to be another woman to help you get a shady fucking divorce.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not being a stand-in. In my acting career, I'm not gonna be a stand-in for...
Wait, how much money though?
No, could not be me. Could not.
No, I'm like women supporting women over here. We're not.
Yeah.
Doing yeah. That. What if I wait, you guys? What if I take the money, sign it, and then call her?
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
You see where I'm
going
here?
Then we can do the other woman situation where we we secretly conspire and then we ruin him.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. That sounds fair. Yeah. That sounds fair.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. But Married with Secrets is the ID show. The reenactments.
Mm. Always. Who the bleep did I marry? The reenactments. Insanity. Like truly the cheesiest shit you've ever seen.
Wigs on that show. Mm. Always.
It's like a Tyler Perry wig. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Sitting real high. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, what are you guys watching this week?
Well, I know that this is awesome. I did watch Poor Things because I waited till the Oscars were over to start watching all the Oscar movies. And I really enjoyed it. I think
I loved it.
It's a love or hate thing. Like some people really don't like it. I loved it. And I know Cassie watched this too. I finished Quiet on Set.
Yeah, me too.
The documentary series about, mostly about Nickelodeon, but kind of generally about like kids in Hollywood.
I haven't started it yet, but just know.
I mean, you should know basically like from the subject matter, but like it's rough. Like there are episodes of it, like episode 3, I would say especially like is especially the roughest one. Yeah. It's hard to hear. It's hard to listen to. I'm glad people are talking about this more. I really credit Jeanette McCurdy and her book, I'm Glad My Mom Died, because I really think that that book kind of got this conversation going into the mainstream in a way that it needs to be. Like, we need to be talking about...
You know what I feel bad for, though, is Corey Feldman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's been saying this shit forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone thought he was... being hyperbolic or whatever.
I don't think everybody thought that. I just think that he's never come out and said names. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, I think that people, it's weird because I think that people feel like, I feel incredibly bad for him and I feel awful for everything he's done. It's not that people don't believe him or think he's being hyperbolic. I think people think that he's being plain... a drama card, right? And the way that he keeps being like, you guys should know this shit happens, but I'm not going to tell you who's doing it. Mm. It's like,
right. But you know, I also think like outside of even having names, like even needing to know names, like we need to know that like this industry in general is incredibly predatory. It attracts predators and beyond even just like this, the sexual predatory stuff that happens, like the way these kids are worked and talked to and treated, like all of that stuff on its own is, it would cause like lasting damage in into adulthood. And so I think hopefully with all of this stuff kind of like coming to light, it just changes the nature of the industry period. And like in the first episode of that show also, of course, the stuff with the kids is the worst stuff. But I was blown away by the way he treated his like women staff members as well, was appalling to me as a woman who works in a professional setting. I cannot imagine the stress of going into a situation like that every single day and being expected to do my job. Like, yeah.
Treated so unprofessionally. It's just, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross. Mm-hmm. And he could just get away with it because he's a fucking child. And acts like a child. And
I watched, he gave an interview, which I did watch, like recently, Dan Schneider's who we're talking about. And he gave an interview recently. I found it really infuriating. It was like a 20-minute interview. It was with somebody who had been a child actor on one of his shows who now has like a YouTube channel. So he was like giving him very softball questions. And the his responses were so... just kind of like, oh, I'm embarrassed that I ever behaved that way. Like, I'm sorry that like I behaved that way, but basically kind of like shrugging off a lot of it and not taking full responsibility. And it's
hard too, though, Keegan, in that respect, because when you watch episode three, the person who, you know, talks about his own personal experience, that was kind of like the one person that he felt really did stand
but that's,
by him during
but that's
it,
not
but
enough. Like you don't
it's
get
not
to
enough.
Just,
yeah.
Like, and so I don't want to go too far into it because I don't want to spoil anything, but like he did get a call from that person, like Dan Schneider called him, but
the only person who called him from Nickelodeon.
He's the only person who called him. However, I feel like one, that's to cover your ass. Two, a phone call when you've had that level of fucking abuse is not enough. Like you need to, like, where's his therapy? Like where are people to safeguard him further on the set? Like you don't really give a fuck about this kid because you're not actually protecting him. So anyway.
His dad, devastating, devastating to watch that. Episode three, literally, that was tough to watch. Especially with the dad. The dad was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, agree. What about you, Christina?
I tried to watch Shogun, that new FX. It's terrible.
Oh,
it's not very good.
It looked so good.
It looked
so
good. I loved, so I'm not familiar with the story. I don't know anything about it. And I was all excited. I was like, dude, this is going to be dope. Like, and the parts with Japanese, great, love. I'm like, ooh, politics, intrigue. It was almost like a Game of Thrones kind of feeling. But then they have like this English ship and English people become involved. And that's when it gets, I just hated it. And
the
was
white
like,
people come on scene and you're like, done.
Yeah. No, it was just like the writing was bad. It was goofy. The main actor, I just like, I don't know who he is, but he's awful. He's just really bad. And so I just was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. If it didn't have that element, I'd be definitely down.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a bummer because that was one that I don't have Hulu anymore, but that was one that was like, oh, if I did, I would watch that show. So good to know.
Yeah. No, do not recommend. I don't know. Maybe tell me if it gets better. I just watched the first two episodes and I was like, I just don't want to keep watching this anymore. So
life is short.
Not for me.
There's a lot of content out there.
So much. So if you have something that we should watch, if you have a terrible date story, if you just want to say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. Or if you're going to be at Podcast Movement Evolutions when this comes out, Keegan and I will also be there in Los Angeles. So please say hello. And
are you listening to this? Oh, sorry. Are you listening to this on Wednesday, like the day that it came out, and you also happen to be at Podcast Movement? Well, we will probably see you there.
It's a sign.
I won't.
Not Cassie, but.
Well, we love you so much.
Cheers.